Hello there. Welcome back to the Pathfinder 101 podcast. Thanks for tuning in. This is Sonic Jake Moore. As you are aware, the intention of this podcast is to examine from a high schooler's point of view various professions beyond the basics by interacting with experienced professionals from various careers. Financial advisors help clients make decisions about how they should invest their money to realize their short and long-term financial goals. Advisors may construct plans that include investments, insurance, estate planning, taxes, etc. They also help clients to periodically reevaluate their financial plans based on their current and future goals. This is unlike financial consulting, which happens mostly with companies, not individuals. Today's interview will be with Mr. Gil Kassan, a financial advisor with Prime Capital Investment Advisors. Mr. Kassan has worked at the talent agency, WME, and Paramount Pictures. We will be discussing why Mr. Kassan chose to become a financial advisor and his journey to his current role at Prime Capital. Hi, Mr. Kassan.
How are you?
I'm good.
How are you? I'm good. Thank you.
Thank you for taking time out of your busy schedule to go through this interview.
Yeah, of course.
So as a high schooler, I'm at a stage where I need to decide like what major to choose, where to study at, which college, and also those will influence this. In the end, what career I choose. But at this stage, understanding the various professions and career paths that I have available to me is a daunting task because there are so many different choices available. And even if I hear about something, the exposure I get to these careers is very limited. So I thought I will talk to some of the alumni from my school and eventually some other people, not just from St. Mark's, and just to understand sort of what they did, how they went through this process before me, how they chose their major, their profession, any lessons they learned along the way, and then analyze those and just detail them in sort of a blog format so that other high schoolers can use the knowledge that I've gathered. And based on, I understand that you joined Bates College in Maine and then transferred to USC after that?
Yes.
So I would like to take you back through the entire journey, sort of a snippet of each part. So what did you want to become when you were a high schooler and how did you choose your college and your major? Were there any people that influenced you, any experiences that played a huge role in that?
Yeah, I did not know what I wanted to do when I was in high school. I grew up in, my dad worked kind of for big corporations throughout his career. And that was always something that was very at the forefront of my life. I moved around a lot as a kid. So I lived in Dallas. I lived in Connecticut. I lived in Australia for a little bit and moved back to Dallas. So I liked that, you know, his job brought him to a lot of different places and he worked a lot in international business, which I thought was really cool. But to answer your question, no, I just didn't, I was focused on school and I was very serious about lacrosse. And that was, I kind of just was always focused on what was happening to me in the moment, which, you know, I think as careers become so competitive now and getting jobs and stuff, I think I probably should have thought more about maybe a career path at an earlier age, but you know, I think things worked out. And then I chose Bates because I was recruited to play lacrosse there. As I mentioned, living in Connecticut for a little bit growing up, I had been to the Northeast, not as far as Maine all that much, but I visited, I met with the coach. I really liked the coach. I knew it had strong academics. Lacrosse for me was, I loved playing it and it was a vehicle as well to get a great education. I'd committed so much time to it. I saw it as a way to end up at a good school as well and do something that I loved. So lacrosse was a big influence in my decision making. And obviously I want to, you know, you go to St. Mark's, you want to go to a good school academically speaking. And, you know, I it, like I said, I moved around a lot. So leaving Texas didn't really scare me all that much. I wanted to stretch myself, and I knew, you know, going to the far end of the country would do that. So it was a good experience. My freshman year, I had a really enjoyable time, and, you know, it was a new experience for me, which was great. I just, as I reassessed, as the year went on, I didn't see myself doing 4 years there. I thought, you know, I had the small school experience with St. Mark's. I was getting it at Bates. I thought I wanted something bigger. I knew I wanted at that point to study business. I had a sister out in LA, so I knew I liked it. And I had a bunch of buddies at St. Mark's at USC. So that, to me, kind of all of those factors led me to the decision. And so I transferred in my sophomore year, and I had a great experience. I'm like, so glad I did it. I'm still tight with a lot of my friends from college, and it was a really good school experience. I did the whole fraternity thing. I played club lacrosse, and made really good memories, and the business school was incredible too. So I think I learned a lot of things that I carried on into the working world.
Did you have any sorts of doubt or hesitation at any points during this journey, and how did you overcome?
Yeah, I mean, it's certainly scary when you pick a school, right? And you think, you know, I have to make this work. When you're coming out of high school, you obviously want your decision to be the right one. So it was scary. I mean, you essentially have to start all over again and be a freshman again. But I overcame it. I knew I had good friends there. I had family out there. I just leaned on people. I surrounded myself with people who I knew would give me confidence and help build my network and help me grow and make it a soft landing, you know, into a new location, new school, all that. You know, I've been the new kid at school a lot because I've moved around so much, and that's tough. It can be really tough, and you want to find a place where you can set roots and, you know, build a network and a community. But it was a good transition because I think having those St. Mark's guys there was a huge help to me. You know, the friendships you create at that school are just, I want to say everlasting. They have been so thus far. And I had a lot of help that way.
Could you talk a little bit about your journey after college and to where you are right now?
Yeah. So, I obviously was really passionate about sports. I was in LA, so entertainment is huge there. If you're going to do it, that's where you'd want to be. I interned for some sports agencies. I interned with a small basketball agency, and then I interned with a big sports agency. So to me, it felt like a really kind of logical next move to work in entertainment when I got out of school. So I looked at a lot of sports agencies and talent agencies, and got an offer to start at WME, which is just a, you know, historic talent agency that's been around for like 100 years. And, you know, a lot of important and big success stories have come out of that agency. So I started in the mailroom, pushing a mail cart, which is just kind of crazy, you know, after 4 years of education, you're wondering how you ended up there. But it's, again, it's a blue chip company, a historical, you know, program, and you work your way up to a desk. And I ended up working in the talent department. So I worked for two different agents over my time there. And it's just really kind of crazy exposure to the entertainment world and industry, high pace, high stress, stuff I don't imagine people would do at any other job. So it was a really cool experience. And I did that for a few years, and then I wanted to see another aspect of entertainment. So I went to Paramount Pictures, which, you know, essentially we were just helping movies get made, working with producers and directors and other talent. Also a really cool experience, just kind of amazing stuff, working through scripts and being on calls and, you know, kind of seeing how a broader picture of how that business works. So I did that for a few years, and I think I just, you know, realized I didn't see myself staying in that career path. I was really happy with what I had kind of learned, and I thought it just gave me really good working world experience. I, you know, was able to leave on my own terms. I made it through. A lot of people don't make it that far. And I'd always, obviously studying business at SC, kind of had an itch for finance. I traded some stocks when I was in high school on a very small level, so that always interested me. I wanted to find a kind of a good marriage between what I had been doing and what I wanted to do. So I'd been working with clients. And so when I was thinking about my pivot from entertainment to financial services, you know, I knew it should be client interfacing, and wealth management, what I do now, is that. And then pairing it with what I want to do, working in the stock market and other types of investments. And, you know, I like helping people. I like interacting with people. So it was just a very good blend of what I had been doing and what I wanted to do. And I got introduced to a really good company. And, you know, I'm about 8 months in, and it's been a really good start. So that is kind of what has led me here today.
Given your current exposure to these different fields, would you do anything differently if you could go back in time?
Yeah, you know, I think kind of like I said about school, you know, you come out of high school, you want to hope that you pick it right on the first go around. I think, you know, I've always been interested in a few things. Some people, you know, they know when they get out, they want to be in real estate or be a doctor or be a lawyer or, you know, work in finance or work in the movie business, and they want to do that for the rest of their life. You know, I knew I was interested in a couple things. I'm glad I experienced, a different profession, and I don't know that I would have come to the decision that I wanted to be doing what I'm doing now if I hadn't have tried other things. So, I mean, would I have done anything differently? I think a good piece of advice I would share to people going through this is, you obviously, you know, you get told find what you're passionate about, right? And you don't work a day in your life, something like that. But yeah, I think you can do your passion on the side. You know, I still love movies and entertainment. I watch sports all the time. I watch movies all the time. I don't maybe necessarily need to do that every day. I think find what you're skilled at, find what you're good at, and lean into that. And I think that will give you good traction and kind of figuring out what you want to do. So do you like working with people? Do you like working with numbers? Do you like working with money? Stuff like that. And if you're good at it and you have a knack for it, I would explore that.
The next series of questions I'm going to ask is sort of to get a better idea of your job. So both right now and when you were with WME and Paramount Pictures, what does a typical day or week look like for you? Like, what time would the day start? What time would it end? How many hours a week? Did you work any late nights or weekends, and any sort of traveling involved? And like, what are some routine tasks that you completed?
Yeah. So in the entertainment business, I would typically get in anywhere from 7:30 to 8 and stay till 7. So pretty long days. You are on the phones, you're listening to calls, you are sending scripts and audition appointments to clients, to actors and actresses. You're reading scripts that you get sent. You are doing kind of like, it's called coverage it's like a synopsis or character breakdown of the script. You're giving that to your agent. You're giving notes to your agent. You are keeping track of what your clients are getting paid. What you're keeping track of where they are. Are they on a movie set? Are they shooting a movie? Are they unavailable? Because casting would call you all the time and ask, you know, where is this person? Are they available for this next movie? No, they're shooting something. So you have to be very on top of what your clients are doing. You know, you're keeping track of your boss's calendar, your client's calendar. That's a bulk of what you're doing in the entertainment business. I'd say, and pretty rigid hours, like pretty specific, you know, you're there before your agent, you're there after your agent leaves. You need to always essentially be available in case a client calls and needs something. That's a pretty intense, you know, work-life balance. And now it's, I would say, a little more flexible schedule. So, you know, I'm trying to grow my business. I'm trying to meet with people, tell them what I do. We are, for current clients, we are monitoring their accounts, their positions, their, you know, what makes sense for them, their life, and what kind of investments they want to be in the markets. We're advising on that. We try and help with financial planning, you know, people's budgets and kind of big expenses and how they should live in that aspect of their life. We deal with private investments, private equity. So we're trying to introduce people to that. We work with companies on their 401k plans and we advise on that. So we might be meeting with participants in the plan and helping them build out their 401k. It's a big combination of working with current clients and business development, trying to find new business, staying in front of people, staying up to speed in the markets, you know, any sort of continued education. But again, kind of you're a little more flexible with your hours. If it's going to go help your business, you can go do that.
On the topic of continued education, are there any sort of certificates that you have or certifications that you have to keep up with or anything like that?
Yeah. So I had to take something called a Series 65 to engage with clients and give advice. I'm in the middle of taking something called a CFP. That's for financial planning. That's not necessary, but it can help kind of distinguish you. You know, there's a broad variety of different things you can take in finance. Not all of it really is required, but it can just help you kind of stand out. A CFA is a big one in finance. So it really just depends kind of what your niche is going to be and how you want to help people. There's typically certificates and courses you can take to achieve kind of a different standing.
And what are some of the perhaps technical or business or soft skills that are required in your profession?
Yeah, I mean, I think, you know, you're dealing with people's finances, right? So you need to know, how to converse with people and communicate, your communication skills, you're emailing, you're calling people constantly, you have to present well, you need to know the markets, you need to know what's going on, you need to know how to advise on that. Like I said, in taking the CFP course, I will be able to advise people on insurance they should have and, you know, what it's like buying a home or, you know, kind of other day-to-day stuff in life that revolves around finance. I think it's constantly staying on top of what's going on in the world and interacting with people and being able to present that.
And what are the different types of career growth opportunities available or that you're looking to utilize in the future?
Yeah. So what do you mean?
Just sort of in a broad sense, like you were talking about how the certifications could help advance or put you in sort of niche spot. Are there any other sorts of things like that? Any experiences that might add a layer like that?
Yeah, I think that is really important, kind of that continued education, trying to get involved with organizations that make sense. You know, if there's financial groups, or, you know, if you're working with a certain type of people, a certain industry, if you're advising maybe a lot of people in the tech space, it's learning about that world. And, you know, I think so much of this business is being able to relate to people and understand what our clients do on their day-to-day life. So it's really cool in that aspect, because we're working with people of a lot of different walks of life, and you end up kind of knowing about other industries based on what your clientele is doing. So it really is, you kind of feel like a jack of all trades. And it's important to just be open to new things and hearing about other industries and staying up to speed on stuff so you can have professional conversations.
What is your favorite and least favorite aspect of your work?
I think favorite is it feels like it can be different every day. You know, I can be focused on trying to find new business, or I can be working with current business. I can be working with a retirement plan for a whole company. I can be learning about a alternative investment we offer. I can, in my studies, learn something new. I think it's really cool because it's all centered around finance, but it's you kind of just, you know, you go where the job takes you. The autonomy of this business is really cool. You know, you're essentially building your own business, which is great. I mean, the toughest part is probably that as well. It's, you know, you need to build a business, right? So a lot of it's on you. You need to be resourceful. You need to find ways to be connected. You have to expand your network. Luckily, all these kind of what could be obstacles, I find as kind of fun exercises or challenges, putting yourself out there. It's definitely not a job where you could just, you know, hide behind a computer screen. You got to put yourself out there. So it's cool. It's all pretty new to me. So I'm just dealing with normal growing pains of being kind of the new kid at school again. So, but it's working out.
In terms of compensation, without going into specifics, do you think that this compensates relatively well compared to other professions, or there's more room for growth since this is sort of a business? How does that topic?
Yeah, I think it can be a very rewarding business. I think it's kind of a slow start, and then you see a lot of the benefits. You know, it's maybe not as structured as other industries in form of compensation, but because of that, you really don't, I mean, you have a limit, but you really don't, you know, just the bigger your business grows, the more you can achieve. So that being said, it can be hard when you start off, but then after a while, if you're doing the right things and you're building your book of business, it can be a from what I hear, a very nice career path.
And on the topic of doing the right things and networking, especially because this whole your whole profession is based on like having a good network with clients, what are some of the habits or practices that you put into place to make sure that aspect is doing well?
Yeah, I think, you know, you just need to like foster relationships. It's definitely, I think, which is something I've been good at, you know, try and stay in touch with people. I mean, if your mentality is that you want to just stay close with people in general, it'll work out and do the right thing and do right by people. You know, it just kind of naturally helps you in this business. You can't be afraid of reaching out to someone totally random. I mean, find a shared connection, like you reaching out to me. I mean, we have the St. Mark's thing. I think, you know, I'm trying to always stay curious and ask people for help and how they might navigate a situation. I think people genuinely want to help. And if you just try and tap into that and ask people for advice, they're always willing to give it or help you when they can. You know, it's about being resourceful too. Like, you know, who are there good organizations to be a part of, or is there, you know, good courses to take that can set you apart? I think just, trying to always be thinking about what you can do to grow as a person is really important. And you just keeping those relationships strong, you know, because, that's something I like doing anyway. I like having a big friend group and meeting new people and, you know, being opened up to new people's, you know, backgrounds and experience and hearing what other people do for work or, you know, fun. I think all of those are very important.
Aside from sort of the continuing education aspect, how do you, I know you've only been in this, you said like 8 months, but how do you foresee that this profession will change during the next couple of years, especially like we've seen with COVID, with more Zoom interactions than person to person? And since this depends sort of on that person to person interaction, what are some of the changes you foresee in the future? Do you think that will stay or it will return more to face-to-face?
Yeah, I think people I've noticed just definitely in the working world are more prone to doing a Zoom. But I mean, it's kind of great too, because, you know, you're in a different city than I am. We're able to talk right now. Phone calls are great, but like we're face-to-face. I mean, I think it is really great when you can be in the room with someone, but having the technology to put us in front of someone. And, you know, if you can't go meet someone, this is probably the next best thing. I don't know though. I think people, you know, like being with other people. I think the Zoom has been, and other devices like that have been really helpful, but, you know, look at people's rush to the movie theaters or sporting events or concerts or forums, you know, fundraisers, whatever it may be, charities. People kind of like being with other people. So I think we're kind of getting back into that direction. So I don't know. I think Zoom will probably always be in our life and will be a very useful tool. Like if you need to talk to someone who's not in your vicinity, but human interaction will always probably be very important.
This is my last question. I hope I'm not keeping you too long, but
great.
Do you have any final comments or advice before we wrap up with in relation to sort of two different things? First of all, just for in general advice for high schoolers. And the second one is specifically for someone who wants to reach where you are today.
Yeah, I think, you know, something that I've learned is, I mean, we went to a great school. You're at a great school. Lean into those resources, lean into older guys, reach out to people. Don't be afraid to send the email, make the phone call. Like I said, people genuinely want to help. People have helped me. I like kind of giving advice. I think that's really important. Try a lot of different stuff when you're younger. You know, if you think you're interested in finance or real estate or entertainment, you know, if it's not an internship, try and talk to someone who's in that profession, see what they like, see what they don't like. ask why they're good at it. And then I'd say like, figure out kind of what your skill set is or start to, I mean, you know, you're young and, you know, even in your 20s, you're young and figuring it out. So, kind of see like, oh, hey, I'm pretty good at that. I'm good at, you know, working with people, or I love movies and that's all I can think about. And, you know, I want to be a filmmaker. All of that stuff is very possible, especially with, you know, we're very fortunate to get the education that we have. So, you know, don't feel like you have to limit yourself. And again, I've surrounded myself with great people. I've leaned on very smarter people than I, in navigating my career. And I think, you know, we don't have all the answers, right? You don't have all the answers when you're younger. So that's okay. Don't be afraid of that. And just put yourself out there.
Thank you for taking time to address these questions, and have a great rest of your day.
Of course. I'm always happy to help. So I appreciate you reaching out, and hopefully this is helpful.
Thank you.
All right. Have a good night.
Thank you, Mr. Kassan, for the valuable advice and for your time. Thanks to everyone who's listening for choosing to spend your valuable time with this podcast. I hope you found this useful. To get notified about future episodes, please subscribe or follow Pathfinder 101 on Twitter, Instagram, or LinkedIn. Also, please visit Pathfinder101.com for more content. If the blog or podcast added some value to you, please like and share it with your friends and colleagues. Thanks again for your time, and have a great rest of your day.